It is Friday. So glad to be with you. Hope you're having a great Friday. You're not too stuck in too much traffic headed up north. Just shut up and drive. That's all you can do. I was thinking about our segment yesterday, Dan, as I drove back to the Twin Cities after spending yesterday in Nisswa.
I was going to say.
Nisswa. I turned it into a
you
French,
want to correct you, but, I
mean, a French salad all of a sudden. Nisswa. So on the way back, just I tried to keep it in the right lane, you know?
Attaboy. I was at, I was behind somebody who was doing actually less than the speed limit in the left lane on 394 today.
Mm.
And I almost wanted to flash the lights at him, and I didn't.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
But
don't do that. That's stupid.
Yeah. It is stupid. The slower than the speed limit. Come on. I know it's a limit, but come on. Get the idea. If you missed that segment, by the way, you can hear all of our segments on this show. We time shift everything for you. So you can listen to this show. What I recommend with the air quality and the humidity, you should probably spend the next 2 days in your house just catching up on some of the quality.
Seems perfectly reasonable. Yeah.
Just search DeRussia wherever you get podcasts and you can subscribe and like and all of that. And you can also watch these shows on YouTube. WCCO Radio is the account there. Let's do the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight. We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And the lead story is an update, really, to a segment that we had on Monday. Really kind of questioning why State Senator Nicole Mitchell would need to give 2 weeks notice before stepping down from her position as a state senator after she was convicted of felony burglary and of having the tools of burglary by a jury. And I want to give credit where credit is due. Now, today, and just this afternoon, the now former state senator formally resigned by sending a letter to the governor. She sent a letter to her constituents as well. I will not extend my congratulations to her lawyer, who said the reason she stepped down early was because she finished up all of the work that she thought she was going to need 2 weeks to tackle. Now, I get it. When you're a lawyer, you get paid. You're like, well, already I had to try to come up with some sort of defense for this indefensible act that I think our whole state would have been better off if Nicole Mitchell just said what happened from the beginning, stepped down from her seat. And then I would have been on the air criticizing the cruelty of prosecutors for prosecuting someone for something that clearly was a family tragedy and did not need to be in the criminal justice system. Could have been handled outside of it, in my view. But she brought it to where it ended. And so the jury found her guilty. She will resign her seat. The governor will call a special election. We are sort of specializing in special elections. Some for true tragedies. Sudden deaths. The murder of the former Speaker of the House. And then some for this.
Becoming far too much of a common occurrence in this state, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yep. So Woodbury will have no state senator right now, but they'll call a special election. And we are already seeing some of the jockeying for that seat. Next up in the lead. Well, since we're talking elections, why don't we talk about what's going on in Wisconsin? The governor, because we have many Wisconsin listeners, and also there are some saying, as Wisconsin's governor says, you know, two terms is enough. Governor Tony Evers has decided he would not seek a third term. Evers is 73 years old. He's a little older than Tim Walz, who is also facing this decision. Should I give it another go for a third term. Here is what Tony Evers said when he made the announcement.
Here's the truth, Wisconsin. The only thing I love more than being your governor is being a husband, a dad, and a grandpa. I spent 50 years in public service. I'm damn proud I devoted my entire career and most of my life to working for you. And from Plymouth to Baraboo, Tolma to Oshkosh, Verona to Madison, and everywhere in between, Kathy and my family supported me all the way. Marrying Kathy is the greatest accomplishment of my life because it gave me a lifetime with her, 3 amazing kids, and 9 incredible grandkids. For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe it to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet. There is, as always, much work to do. In Wisconsin, I'll be working just as hard as I have for the last 6 years to keep doing the right thing and deliver for you. So let's get to work. Forward for you and for Wisconsin always. Thank you.
Already, the current Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, is the first Democrat to enter the 2026 governor's race. She has made that move by calling the president, Donald Trump, a, quote, maniac. The Milwaukee County executive is announcing his plans to run for governor. And already a couple of Republicans have said that they are in. So we will see if this is a case where you say Tony Evers is just at a certain age where he's like, I don't want to do 4 more years of this. Or is it just the reality that 2 years is about how much voters want politicians to stay in their seat? Next on the lead is the Smoke Show. The Smoke Show is the main story throughout Minnesota and throughout much of the upper Midwest, really. Smoke from Canada, once again, affecting all of us here. Air quality data that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency just sent me this afternoon shows that today was the 28th air quality alert day issued in the state of Minnesota. In the Twin Cities, we've had 15 alert days this year. This does have us on pace to, it's the odd years. 2021, 2023 were both terrible years for air quality, largely because of wildfires in Canada. To get some insight on this, I asked WCCO-TV and radio chief meteorologist Chris Schaefer to join me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Chris, you know, I woke up this morning on Gull Lake looking out. It was gross. It was disgusting, just like it is, frankly, right here in the Twin Cities.
The big question is, could you see Gull Lake from the beach? I mean, it's so smoky up there.
Yeah. I mean, the sunsets are beautiful, these smoky sunsets. But it is sort of astonishing to think and wonder, is this just going to be part of our Minnesota summer going forward? It didn't used to be like this, at least not this often, was it?
No, you know, and I remember oftentimes looking back when I was a kid, they would throw those summer-like phrases, hot, hazy, and humid. Mm. And perhaps the haziness was somewhat because of that, but we just weren't studying it like we are now. Huh. But there's no doubt it's gotten worse. I mean, a couple of years ago, we called it the summer of smoke. It was so bad where it was like, you know, somebody had a bonfire going 2 feet away from you. And we've certainly had our dances with the smoke again this year. And it's all because of the steering winds. It's kind of sad. If you pull up a map of the current wildfires, I'm happy to say that there's none in Minnesota right now. But you get up into Canada, Manitoba's got a few going. There's a few around Winnipeg. But when you jump over to Saskatchewan and over to Alberta, it looks like you're looking at little plots of cities where the fires are on a map because there's so many of them burning. And once those prevailing winds come from that direction, from the northwest for us, it brings it right over us. And sometimes when it remains elevated, you know, we're showing you on our bump shots on TV a pretty sunset or a pretty sunrise that is orange or red. That's cool. But when it mixes down to the surface, that's when the trouble begins. And that's what you experienced on Gull Lake. That's what we're experiencing right now here in our own backyards in the Twin Cities.
You know, Chris, the science of this is very interesting. And we know, like, as Minnesotans, where we love our forests, we love our natural surroundings, fire is part of nature's way of sort of, you know, keeping the ecosystem in balance and clearing some dead trees to create a new life. It is a natural thing. That said, like, there are ways that the experts are trying to sort of give us a little bit of an upper hand. You can't really beat nature, though, I suppose, at their own game. It's tricky.
Yeah, and it is. If you thought, you know, think about the two wildfires, or at one time three, that were burning in northern Minnesota spring.
Yeah.
How difficult that was to contain. Now talk about all of Canada and all of those northern territories, which, you know, are vastly wooded. It's basically forest up there. That's why we love to go up there. And then, of course, it's dotted with all the Great Lakes for the fishing that people do. It's just too much land to try to contain. If it was a small acreage, maybe you could clear the dead stuff on the bottom, but you can't do that when you're talking about almost all of Canada. It's just too much, and it's so wooded. And climate does play a role in it. If it's getting drier, if the dry season, the non-winter season, is longer, that's more potential. But the other battle is, look, climate change doesn't start the fires. It just makes them harder to contain and become more widespread. The fires are still primarily started by two main sources. It's either lightning from thunderstorms, or it's sadly us, human beings. And it could be a mistake. Maybe a campfire wasn't put out, or sadly it could be arson too. But once they start, they're very hard to contain because it's such a massive amount of land.
I don't like it. Maybe we need like giant fans to blow it back into Canada. Keep your own smoke.
Border fans. That might be the new invention right there.
Somebody can make
it to the north.
That's right. You can make a lot of money off of that. Chris Schaefer, absolutely. Appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
That is the lead. Page two coming up next. We dwell on restaurant closings. We're going to talk about a bunch of openings. Another opening, a Shields. Where's that going to be? And a Minnesota Lynx player who loves her sneakers so much she gets fined for wearing them. That as the D-Rush Hour continues. D-Rush Hour news headlines, page two. I want to start with some good news as it relates to restaurants, because we all dwell about the closings. So let's talk about the opening.
And they're off.
Minnesota Star Tribune and their EAT team with five restaurants about to open. Now, consider that over the last couple of months, there's been Cabana Anna's opening on Lake Minnetonka, North Star Deli in Minneapolis, Boardwalk Kitchen in Shakopee, Shiki at Excelsior, Dark Horse in St. Paul, Liliana in Woodbury. So all over the place, you're getting new spots. Mirabelle is a Gesture Concepts restaurant opening in Excelsior on Monday. It's going to be beautiful, kind of a family neighborhood restaurant. Stock and Bond opens next Thursday in downtown Minneapolis in the former bank building. So it's in the Westin Hotel. It's going to be a steakhouse. And, man, people love steakhouses, don't they? Vagabondo will open August 4th. That is the new David Fima restaurant, also in Excelsior. Why is all the action in Excelsior? Maybe because all the money's in Excel, you think? Also, Excelsior sort of shuts down outside of the summer. And so a lot of restaurateurs are trying to figure out, all right, can we make this happening year round? And then at Mystic Lake Hop House, inside the Mystic Lake complex, looks beautiful, this restaurant. So sort of a sports bar with 24 taps. That's enough. I like beer. I don't need 60 taps. You pick. Remember that trend? Ugh, annoying. Shields is opening a second Twin Cities store.
Welcome to a paradise where you come to have fun, learn new things, and buy what you need.
No matter what your passion is, Shields has quality equipment for what you need.
It's going to be in Blaine. This makes so much sense to open this thing up right near the National Sports Center. The news from Bring Me the News. Shields is like, it's amazing. It's like an entertainment center. It's sort of like, what are the outdoor stores that became like such an attraction for people?
I like Bass Pro Shops.
Bass Pro Shop.
Cabela's.
Cabela's is the one that when Cabela's started opening, it was such a big deal. This thing will be near the National Sports Center. It'll have the Ferris wheel. It'll have a candy shop, a 16,000-gallon saltwater aquarium. I think they'll sell stuff, too. Interactive arcade games, a wildlife mountain. I mean, it really is like, it's pretty interesting stuff. So this will be opening in Blaine. And, yeah, this is part of a huge redevelopment. Blaine is trying to create a downtown. A lot of the cities have been doing that. Minnesota Lynx player loves her sneakers so much that she gets fined for wearing them.
Oh, last her dribble, got a back, put it in. It counts. How about that razzle-dazzle from Courtney Williams?
Courtney Williams, all-star guard for the Minnesota Lynx, part of a story in the New York Times today, talking about Moolah Kicks. This is a relatively new women's basketball shoe company started by Natalie White. So it's a small shoe company only for women. And that was part of the attraction for Courtney Williams. She is paid to endorse the brand. But all the other big shoe brands have deals with the league. So they got to put tape over Courtney's shoe for her to wear it on the court. So they cover up the logo because Nike and everybody else is paying with a deal for the league. I get it. If I were Nike, it's like, what are you paying for? But this does sound like the kind of company that would be a great partner with the WNBA. I'm sure they don't have the dough. It's called business, people. It's an interesting story. Worth a read over the weekend. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. Next, Dan Hayes. It is almost trade deadline time. Are the Twins going to sell? We'll see what Dan has to say coming up.